Jenna. Fortunately, I can sometimes keep from singing. Thank you. Thank you very much. It was beautiful.
Amen.
Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming out on this beautiful, beautiful Alaskan day and joining us. So thank you for being here. This is the fourth talk in a series that I have done on honoring, and they're based on the book by Ayanla Vansant, One Day My Soul Just Opened Up. The first week was honoring the divine, and we talked about how sometimes our life is like the divine has given us a full box of 64 crayons, and sometimes we just use a few of those. And it suggested that we might be able to be a different expression if we could use more. We can certainly express with one, but sometimes might be advised to look at using all 64. And then we learned how to roar like a lion. Week two, we talked about honoring ourselves and how the divine creative force in the universe, along with us, are co-creating our experiences here today. And one of the things we talked about in honoring ourselves was taking care of and honoring our body temple. And so I committed to doing a better job of doing that with improved diet and exercise. And I committed to putting my weight up here every week. And I don't know if Mrs. Fleming put it in or not, but she did. But I lost another 2 pounds this week, so. Week three, we talked about honoring others, those that are closest to us, and how important it is that we honor those around us. And the title of my talk today is Honoring Our Feelings. I have two major points. I'm going to talk about something that we hold so dear in this philosophy, and that is that our thoughts are creative. And then my second thing is I'm going to talk about how do we deal with our feelings and emotions. So first of all, our thoughts are creative. And they are powered by the feelings behind them. In our form of affirmative prayer, we call it spiritual mind treatment, we often say that it is the fire in the technique. And it's what Holmes meant by that is that it is the technique, and that is our thoughts, how we think, and then the fire behind it, that is our emotions or our feelings. And the two of them together go together to create our reality. Feelings are the most powerful energy we have. Ernest Holmes in the textbook Science of Mind says, feeling is at the center of the universe and reflected through our consciousness sheds its glow wherever our thought travels. Later on, he goes on to say, the creative power of God responds to feelings more quickly than to any other mental attitude. Therefore, we should try to feel the reality of what we are doing when we state our prayers or our affirmations. In other words, it's good for us to know where we are pointing our thoughts and our feelings. And in that regard, it's like a laser. You know, you see these shoot 'em up movies and they've got the guy with the laser sight on the gun. Well, that laser is like our feelings. It's pointing us as to where we are aiming our thoughts and our feelings. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he utters a phrase that has been so often quoted in our movement, and that is, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. So it is what we put forth into the universe is what we get back. So we need to watch where we're pointing that laser of our thoughts. Recently heard a story about two professional baseball players. There was a pitcher and a catcher. And one day they were sitting in the dugout and they were talking about things metaphysical. And one of them posed the question, I wonder if there's baseball in heaven. They discussed that for some time, and they never did come to an answer, but they decided that the guy that dies first is going to come back and tell the other one if there's heaven or if there's baseball in heaven. Well, they agreed that that was a good idea, but unexpectedly, just a few weeks later, the catcher tumps over deader than a doornail. And Wow, that was kind of a shock to everybody, but he was good to his word. And one night the pitcher was there, and who came to him but the catcher? And a pitcher said, well, tell me, is there baseball in heaven? And he says, well, it's kind of a yes and no. It's a good news and maybe not so good news. Well, what do you mean? How can that be? He says, well, the good news is there is for sure baseball in heaven. Well, that's great. What could possibly be not good? And he says, you're scheduled to pitch next week. So what does all of this have to do? They were talking about our thoughts are creative and whatnot, have to do with honoring our feelings, particularly when we feel inadequate or shame or guilt, lonely, confused. And the answer is that we need to honor all of our feelings, especially the negative ones. These feelings allow us to learn things about ourselves that we will probably not learn in any other way. They help us to learn tolerance, respect, and self-control. We can learn that situations can be overcome and transcended. Emotions and feelings are like a messenger telling us where we are focusing our attentions. Now, our emotions and feelings are not imposed upon us from outside. They arise from our thoughts and beliefs about what we think is happening around us. Two people can have exactly the same experience and yet have totally different reactions to that. And we see that in our courts of law where we have witnesses to various crimes. And one witness can see exactly the same event as the other one, and yet they have different stories. One of them saw a brown car and a green car, and the other one saw a brown car and a blue car. And yet they both witnessed the same thing. Coming up this year is my high school reunion, my 50th reunion, my graduating class from high school. And I got a call from a guy that I haven't seen in many, many years. And I talked with him for a while, and he said, well, do you remember old teacher from third grade? Oh, do I ever. I remember. She's the potholder lady. I remember that teacher, and I said, yes, I do. And he started talking about her so favorably. Oh, wasn't she wonderful? And that was not my experience at all. We were sitting in the same classroom, but we had totally different experiences. Another good example, roller coasters. Now, I don't particularly mind roller coasters. I can do it. For me, roller coasters are kind of scary, but more than anything, I'm excited to do a roller coaster. Other people are terrified of roller coasters. Now me, a Ferris wheel. Don't even ask me to get on a Ferris wheel. There's no way. I am so terrified of a Ferris wheel, and yet other people aren't bothered at all. We have the same experience, and yet we have a totally different reaction to it. Eckhart Tolle said in The Power of Now, emotion arises at the place where our mind and our body meet. Okay, now the second thing I'm going to talk about then is how do we deal with our feelings and our emotions? The good ones we don't have a problem with, because if we are focusing and creating our reality based on good feelings, good thoughts, good emotion behind it, we can create more of that. And we all like to have more peace, more joy, more abundance, more love in our lives. It's those other ones that aren't so wonderful that cause us the problem. That's when we get into the fear, the lack, the limitation, and the other more negative experiences. So there is a process that we can use to focus and change our experience from these negative emotions. It's a four-step process. The first one is to become aware of it, to own it, to face it, but not to act on it. But it's important that we recognize it and we feel it. And to me, I see this in grief when I work with grief classes. It's so important that we feel that emotion. to feel the loss, to feel the pain, to feel the hurt. I think the people that have the hardest time with death and dying and grief and loss are those that want to get an A in grief. They want to get into class and do what they're supposed to do, read the readings, and get over it. And it's so important that we step into it and feel it. And it's the same thing with our negative feelings. All of those things, the shame, the guilt, we need to step in and feel it, because it's a laser that's pointing us, that's telling us where we're pointing our thoughts and what we're doing. But then we cannot act on those feelings. It's important that we don't act. We can develop a habit of not acting on any emotion at the moment that we are feeling it. Thomas Jefferson said, if you're mad, if you're angry, count to 10. But if you're really angry, count to 100. As intelligent beings, we have a desire to express our feelings in the highest and best way possible. Our actions should transmute the negative energy of our initial reaction into a positive result. Example, Gandhi, India, British come in, machine gun down, passive, peaceful protesters. It would be really, really easy to be filled with hate and to be filled with negative emotions. But he did not act on it. He remained in principle of peace and nonviolent protest. Same thing with Martin Luther King. When the police came after the freedom marchers with hoses and batons, and they were clubbing the peaceful protesters. It would be really easy to react, as some of our cities have recently, with violence. But in neither case did they do that. They stayed on their principle. Well, wait a minute. Now, Don, you're telling us on one hand that our thoughts are creative, and if we have these negative thoughts and these negative feelings, that we're going to create more of that, and yet you're telling us to step into it, to actually go in and feel the shame, feel the guilt, feel the anger, feel that negative emotion. Aren't then we just going to create more of that? And the answer is no. No, you're not. And that is because that these feelings aren't new feelings. You're not planting new seeds. You're not planting those seeds of those feelings. Those were already there. You've been carrying those for a long, long time. And it's by focusing on those that you can bring them to the light of day and then release those feelings. That's a lot of it. That's a much different experience than to create new feelings around it. Those feelings have already been inside of you. This is not an intellectual exercise. It's an emotional one. We assign a meaning to our emotion based upon things that have happened in the past or on some belief that we have about the world. This is why our reactions may not be about what is happening to us right now. It can be cumulative. So the first step is to be mindful of the negative feeling or emotion. Shame, guilt. Be aware of it. The second thing is to be mindful of it, to be aware of it. And the second one is to be mindful. And this is what our youth are learning today next door, is this process of being mindful. And they have about a 5-step process, but there are 3 that come to my mind that seem to really apply for me. The first is breath. We can always access our breath. We can always settle down and go into our breath. Our breath is always accessible, and it regulates our physiological state. The second thing we can do is a thing that I call a body scan. And it's when we can just go from the top of our head all the way down to our toes and feel our whole body. And for me, I can tell when I'm letting stress, get to me, because I get it right there at the base of my neck and the back. And when I start to do a body scan and I feel that right back there, I know that I'm letting stress get to me. We can do a full body scan. It can be in the heart. It can be in the stomach. It can be in our knees. But it gives us a clue as to what we're doing. And then thirdly, walking. I remember we did a walking meditation with Reverend Rainbow, where we were just to be quiet, and we actually walked right where the spiritual striders are going to go today, and we walked over to Taku Lake in this walking meditation. What a powerful thing that was. I was trying to decide if I should try and dig a well up at my remote property, and I was walking between here and Taku Lake, and I was centered, and I was looking for a sign, and as I walked, my attention was just pulled over to the side, and I looked over, and there was Alaska Pump and Well Supply. I had never seen that place before, and yet it just jumped into my consciousness. Walking can get us in touch with our body. When we stop and listen to the wisdom that is always there, we'll be amazed at how often we can quickly see a better and more balanced way to respond. Now, the third step is to figure out what we want and then do our best to reach for that emotion. Now, I think there were 12 or 14 of us that took Reverend Cliff's class in Nothing or No One is Against You. This is exactly what that entire workshop and that class is all about. It's all about reframing how we do that. It just gives us a structure to figure out what it is we want and then to change those feelings and emotions. It's a really powerful class, and if Reverend Cliff offers it again, I would really highly recommend it to anyone. In fact, I've taken it. This is my fourth time. First, we decide, what is our mission? Why are we here as individuals? And we look at some of the gifts that we've been given, and we put those on what we call our cue card. And this is why we're here and what we're doing. And then we go back, and through a series of ways we look at what's going internally and externally, we're able to trap those emotions. We're able to feel those emotions and then bring them back and compare them to the truth of what we are. But it gives us a chance to look at that and then release it. And then the fourth step in this process of dealing with our negative emotions is to watch out for obstacles, because we can plant our own obstacles. We're really good at that. And I think the biggest one is what I call the yeah buts. Oh yeah, I know I am a spiritual being. Yeah, but. I know that I am here to do, yeah, but. So it's always wise to watch out for those traps and to watch out for the yeah buts and to return then to that original thing, that what is our purpose? What is our goal? Why are we here? What are we here to express as divine beings having a material experience? Sum this up with a story that is out of Ayan Lavansant's book. There was a young lady who contacted Ayanla. She had just been through a difficult breakup. She and her boyfriend of I think almost a year had split. One day he just informed her that he thought it'd be best if they were just friends. And that was it. And she was very, very hurt by this. She was sad. She was depressed. And so she went to Ayanla to talk about it. And Ayanla kind of walked her through this process. And I've changed the book around a little bit to make it fit. But the process remains the same. And first of all, she had her just feel what those negative feelings are. What was she feeling? What is the nature behind that sadness? What was she really feeling? And she was able to talk about it and really sit with it and feel it. And she came up with the answer, and she says, I'm feeling not good enough. She was rejected because she felt that I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have a good enough figure. I'm not good enough. So then Ayanla had her go back and follow the emotional trail. When had she felt that before? And she started to say, oh, I felt kind of like that. Not when did you feel kind of like that. When did you feel that exact feeling before? And she said, when I was in high school, I was 16, and my boyfriend did exactly the same thing. We'd been going together for a few months, and one day he just said he just wanted to be friends, and that was it. And that's exactly what I felt like. And then the next day, he called my best friend, and they started going together. And she realized that the feelings were exactly the same. It's those feelings that she'd had all those years ago moving forward, of not being good enough, not being desirable enough. So then Ayanla moved her even further back. Said, have you ever had that feeling at another time? And it took her a while to follow that emotional trail, but she went back and she identified that feeling at another time when she was young. She was only like 7 or 8 years old, and her older brother and his friends were going out on a trip, and they were going to do some stuff together. And she and her brother were really tight. They did everything together. But she didn't get invited because it was the older boys. And that's when she first started to feel that she wasn't good enough. She wasn't good enough. And she couldn't have any friends. So then she took the truth of the matter. Is it true that you can't have any friends? That nobody likes you? Well, no. I had a lot of friends. I just didn't have my brother's friends. But you had a lot of friends. Well, yes. And she was able to move that forward. Well, what about in high school? Well, yeah, I had a lot of friends. And I like to have fun and tell stories and do things. And yeah. Well, what about today? Well, of course, today I have a lot of friends. I have a great support system as I go through this. See, the truth of the matter isn't that she wasn't good enough, but that's how she felt. But when we can go back and identify that feeling, then we can, as Reverend Cliff says, get on our cue card, and we can know that.